And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Titans. I have something I need to share with the audience, Floyd.
Okay.
And that is why you can never believe anything you see on Twitter. So.
You need to tell me this.
Fox. NFL on Fox Twitter handle, I guess, is doing, you know, it's boring time for them. So they're doing these polls of the 64. They're doing, like, you know, NCAA tournament style polling for the 32 teams of who's the best fan base. So you vote on who the best fan base is. Mm-hmm. So in the first round, the Tennessee Titans and the best NFL fan base got matched up as the 8 seed in the in their region facing the 1 seed, the Dallas Cowboys. And after 60,000 votes were cast, the Tennessee Titans, according to this, have a better fan base than the Dallas Cowboys, 51% to 49%.
Okay.
Now, does anybody in the world believe that the Titans have a better fan base than the Dallas Cowboys?
Sure. It just said it on that thing. There are 60,000 people believe it.
Not 60,000. This would be a little bit more than 30 if it's, you know, to be a 51%.
All right. 32,000.
Okay. So nobody believes that. So that's why you can't believe anything you see on Twitter. As I just wanted to throw that out there. Okay, the Titans have been through free agency. They got a pass rusher, although who knows how much of an impact this pass rusher is going to have. They got a wide receiver to play the slot. They got an offensive guard. They lost an offensive guard. They got a backup quarterback. They lost a backup quarterback. And so, Floyd, here we are now. You're the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. Take us through what's going on now that free agency is over and that John Robinson has gone out and got his guys, where he's preparing to go in the draft to fix the other holes, and where maybe there still needs to be some free agent lookage in terms of maybe bring a guy in here or there.
Yeah, I mean, free agency's not over. I mean, the first rung,
the fun is
the big names, for the most part, have gone through. Although there still are some pretty big names out there, but I think the first rung is done, and I thought the Titans did a great job. I think they ended up helping across the board. I feel really, really good about all of that. You know, that being said, we're sitting here now without a right guard, and we're going to have to do something about that. And then it goes back to the same old, you know, pass rusher needs we've talked about for a while. So I don't think that has changed a great deal. You know, are there guys out there in the draft that can help the pass rush needs? Absolutely. I mean, I think that's maybe the strong suit of this draft. So you feel good about that. You know, what is there? Is there a possibility there's a guard out there that you fall in love with? Yeah, maybe there is. You know, I don't know. But interior lineman in this draft is very, very good. So, I mean, they still have a lot of options left. And I think that, you know, the one thing about John is really resourceful. I mean, John explores everything. He's taken a look at it across the board. So I think he's kind of approaching it from the standpoint that, you know, it's not just free agency or not just the draft. There are other options out there. And so I'm sure he's exploring everything.
Although he hasn't made a lot of trades as general manager of the Titans.
He's made a lot of draft trades. Hasn't made a lot of off-season, off-draft kind of trades. You know, he's made some really important ones. But you're right. I mean,
I can
it's
only
not
think of
like,
one, the Kelly trade.
Which is pretty important.
Yeah, but DeMarco I can't think of Murray. Any other trades. Oh, yeah, DeMarco, that was a big one. That was 13 spots in the fourth for DeMarco Murray.
There we go. So, you know, I think you take that you know, you look at him in the draft now. There probably aren't a lot of teams that have made more trades than he has in the draft.
Well,
I mean, he's
Belichick,
been back and forth and back and forth.
Adam Schefter reporting the Titans are interested in Jordy Nelson. Schefter reporting that Jordy Nelson is going to visit the Seahawks. Visited the Seahawks yesterday. And that the other interested teams are the Patriots, Titans, Chiefs, and Raiders. What do you make about the Titans being interested in Jordy Nelson? How are the Raiders interested in Jordy Nelson if they just cut Jordy Nelson?
Yeah, that's odd.
But what do you think about the Titans, according to Adam Schefter, having interest in Jordy Nelson? Do you have interest in Jordy Nelson? Because to me, I have no interest in Jordy
Nelson. Well, here's Jordy Nelson. Jordy is
93 years old.
An older guy. If he's healthy, he's really, really knowledgeable and might be the kind of guy to help these young receivers. And I think there would be the giant plus. Is he going to come in and be a starter for you? No. He would come in and he would be a backup. But more importantly, I think he would really, really help what these young guys are trying to do, because he does run good patterns. He's lost most of his speed. I mean, not that he was ever a blazer, but he has a sneaky way of getting open, and he catches the ball well. You know, so some of the things that we're trying to remedy, I think he could come in and really, really help you. You know, he would have to come in and be healthy for you, and he would have to come in under your contract terms. You know, it's not going to be, it's not somebody you're going to go out there and get in a bidding war over.
Nelson last year caught 63 passes for 739. By comparison, it's crazy to think that only Corey Davis was in the vicinity of any number, any of the numbers Jordy Nelson had. Their second leading receiver after Corey Davis was Taywan Taylor with 466 yards. Deion Lewis actually had 22 catches more than Taywan Taylor. So Deion Lewis was their number two pass catcher after Davis. Davis had 65, so two more receptions for 891 for about 100 more yards. So here I am saying, you know what, screw Jordy Nelson. He's too old. Jordy Nelson last year on a team nobody knew anything about because Oakland was so bad, Jordy Nelson would have been easily, statistically speaking, the Titans' second-best receiver. Now he would be their third receiver because Adam Humphries had better stats at every metric than any wide receiver they had. So the more I look at it like that, I think to myself, maybe Jordy would be the answer to have Jordy on one side, Davis on the other, and Humphries in the slot. And then maybe that allows Marcus to kind of have guys that at least are semi-reliable, even though none of those guys is a true superstar.
Right. None of those guys are going to jump out and catch 100 balls and go to the Pro Bowl and do those kinds of
things.
Although
we're hopeful Davis might be able to do that.
But, yeah, I'm talking about the new guys. But I think both of those new guys will be a tremendous asset for Marcus. They will really, really help Marcus because they will be the reliable guys that can line up. They know where they're going. They know how to get there. Marcus realizes that. Marcus will be able to get the ball on them, and they will catch the ball. So, I think those are the pluses that you would get from it. The negatives, of course, you're going to have people sit on them, and you're going to have people do some of those kinds of things, but that's where – Davis and some of these young speed guys are going to have to run past people a time or two.
So do you think they're interested in Jordy Nelson?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Would you, let's say it's 1 year, $4 million for Jordy. Would you do it?
I don't know. I mean, I think it
would
depend.
And aren't you kind of telling Sharp to go beat it if you sign Jordy Nelson?
I would think that it would depend on how it's structured. But, I'd have to consider it.
1 year, $4 million straight up guaranteed for Jordy.
Yeah, I'd have to consider it.
But that's not a yes or a no. That's I'd have to.
Well, yeah, but I don't know how much cap money. I don't know who else is out there. I don't know any of that stuff.
Now, if you do get Jordy, though, is that the end of Tajay Sharp?
No. I think he comes in to teach all these guys.
I know, but Tajay Sharp's in his fourth year in the league. He does not play special teams. When's he going to get on the field if you've got Jordy Nelson, Adam Humphries, Corey Davis, Taywan Taylor, and all of those guys? Like, at least Jennings and Batson can play special teams. Taywan Taylor does not play special teams. So I don't know where Taywan Taylor factors into the mix if they go get Jordy Nelson. And is Jordy Nelson at 1 year, $4 million, that much of an upgrade over Sharp?
Well, I mean, would you say he caught 65 balls?
Jordy?
Yeah.
63, yeah.
63, and Sharp caught 23?
I don't know how many Sharp caught. Sharp caught 26 for 316.
Okay. But and your question was what?
Sharp caught two touchdowns. Jordy caught three touchdowns.
Let me think about it. Yes, it would help.
So I don't see why they wait on Jordy Nelson then. Just go get Jordy Nelson and then go get rid of Tajae Sharpe. Could you get a draft pick for Tajae Sharpe?
No. I mean, you don't, but you wouldn't want to get rid of him. I mean, it's not, you don't.
You can't carry 12 receivers.
How many we got?
You got Davis, Humphreys, Jordy, Taylor, Jennings, Batson.
Well, Jennings and Batson, they may struggle here. So you're to Sharp, that's six.
I'd rather have Jennings. Jennings is a kick returner.
Well,
you need Jennings.
That'll be the discussion. I mean, which one do you want to go? But, I mean, it's that kind of competition is a good thing. I mean, that's not – we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to have the exact numbers. Let's bring in some people and let them compete.
Then screw it. Let's do it. Go get Jordy Nelson.
I have no idea if they
go
have any legitimate
interest
at all.
Adam Schefter says that they have interest in him. Now, Adam Schefter did tell us that they had interest in Antonio Brown, and we knew that they had no interest in Antonio Brown. So, I'm now just saying this because it's convenient to me to have Jordy Nelson. The Titans have interest in Jordy Nelson. So, what do you think about that? Do you think Jordy Nelson matters at all if the Titans are actually interested in and on him? Also, your other Titans thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Plus, it was Alabama Pro Day yesterday. Nick Saban had some things to say. We'll get to that. Ohio State Pro Day today. The Titans have gone to the well. As far as Alabama players are concerned under John Robinson, do we think they could go at some Alabama players this year? We'll get to that coming up here on Jared and the GM. Trevor going to join us later this hour. 615-737-1025. We're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. Let me tell you about Hiller. That's right. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. A lot of people have been saying, man, I know you use Hiller, but you just talk about them, don't you? And I'm like, no. I have a Hiller. That I got a house, and I said, what am I going to do with all this, with my plumbing and heating and cooling? And I'm going to call Hiller, and I'm so glad I did. You know that whenever someone fills out an online review, it's usually because they're really upset with the service they've had, so they run to their computer to tell everybody about how bad it's been. So can anyone explain to me how Hiller has over 15,000 online reviews, and they have an average 4.8 out of 5 stars? That's because Hiller is so good when they come to your house that they do such a good job that you have to run to your computer to write a report for how great they were. And again, that's why I use Hiller in my home. They have true transparency pricing and free second opinions. If the other guys have come out to give you a quote on an HVAC unit, major plumbing work, Hiller's there for you. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And again, remember, online ratings over 15,000, they average a 4.8 stars. That's how good they are. Jared the GM, CSPN 102.5 The Game.
Scouts and GMs say this is one of their favorite places to come, not just on Pro Day, but throughout the year because of the way you guys treat them. How much of that is because you've been on the other side of it?
Well, you know, I talked to everybody today, and I certainly respect and appreciate what those guys have to do. I did it for 8 years. But I think the big thing is what we try to do is, you know, we've always had a significant number of juniors that have a business decision to make about whether they stay in school or come out. And my philosophy has always been I want it to be as open as possible and treat everybody as well as possible because we need them to get their information for the player to make a good business decision, like where would you pick this guy? And that's been very, very helpful to a lot of our players. So that goes both ways. We need to be accommodating to them when they come here, and then they're very forthcoming with us when we need to get that information.
Nick Saban at Alabama Pro Day. Titans went Alabama in the first round with Rashawn Evans last year. They went Alabama in the second round 3 years ago with Derrick Henry. They like to go Alabama. Floyd, when I think of the Alabama players in this year's draft, I don't think they'll be in the mix for Josh Jacobs, the running back. I don't think they'll have any interest there. I don't think they'll have any interest in Jonah Williams, the tackle. They'll be in no position to be able to draft Quinnen Williams, the tackle, or the defensive tackle. So when you look, John Robinson was at Alabama Pro Day yesterday. Do you think the Titans could be in the mix for some of these Alabama players, or does this year it not feel like it lines up to where they could be looking at Alabama guys?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're talking about top couple of picks, but I mean down the line,
like
these
Deontay
Alabama
Thompson
kids, yeah, these Alabama kids, now they, you know, there's something unique about them. It really is, and we've seen it, you know, we've lived it, we know that, and so Nick is exactly right that, you know, Nick does a real nice job of helping you out and giving you the information that you need, and you know, there's a need for these teams to reciprocate a little bit. And if they can help Nick or help one of his players out in making one of these life-changing decisions, then I think a lot of times that works. You know, they will do that. And that relationship's probably true with the vast majority of colleges in the country, not just Alabama.
Well, just some of the guys the Titans could be in play for. Irv Smith Jr., the tight end.
Yeah.
Never really put up a bunch of numbers at Alabama, but he's got the body that you would think. And at 19, if the Titans are worried about Delanie Walker, Irv Smith Jr. could be a guy that could come in there and fill a role from Alabama. And then maybe Mac Wilson, the linebacker. But I think he's an inside guy, right?
Yeah, I think those guys would be down the line a little bit too.
Mac Wilson or Irv Smith? For us.
You don't think
Irv Smith is 19? Bucky Brooks at NFL.com has the Titans drafting Irv Smith Jr. out of Alabama at 19.
Yeah, and you could see why. I mean, he is a big kid. His dad played in the league for a long time. And he is the same kind of kid. You know, he is a big, strong, he can catch the ball well enough. He's not really a blazer, but he's a good blocker and, you know, all of those kinds of things, which would help any team that wants to run the ball. You know, the question is a tight end at that position that's maybe not a great threat at running the ball, I mean at catching the ball, worth that spot, even though he can do a bunch of things for you.
So apparently the Vikings have signed Josh Klein, 3 years, $15.75 million. So Josh Klein, who the Titans tried to release, gets over $5 million a year, at least in terms of, you know, the fake money number, whatever,
right.
From the Vikings. Since Josh Klein kind of sucks, I'm okay with him going to the Vikings if that's going to be the price for Josh Klein.
Yeah, I mean, and I have no idea what the Titans offered him, but I'm sure the Titans asked him to take a little bit of a haircut, and he didn't want to do it, and I think we understand that, and so now he goes to the Vikings, and
he'll suck there.
You know, hopefully he'll be happy.
He'll suck there. Let's go to your phones. Adam is up next on Jordy Nelson. Thank you for calling. What's up, Adam?
Well, I'm kind of confused, actually, because how long this show's been on, almost 3 years. I've been listening to this every single day, and I'm usually pretty close to thinking whatever you – like, I know which direction your opinion's headed. I did not expect you to say Jordy Nelson sucks and he's old and you don't want him. I actually expected you to be all in for that because you're a Titans fan, or you grew up a Titans fan. I figured you'd want help at that position, and he's solid, man. Like, it's a typical Raiders move to dump what's just like – nothing but a productive, good guy. I don't even know what his voice sounds like because you never hear him get in trouble. He's nothing but productive to go get the biggest loudmouth in the league who only causes problems. So that's a Raiders move, man. I would absolutely take him. And you could probably, like you said, if you're paying $4 or $5 million, probably get him for peanuts and have him in there. And I mean, any one of those back receivers you were talking about that said he can return kicks or whatever, get him out of there, dude. Like, what did our receivers do last year? They sucked so bad. Even Corey Davis, like, we want to love
Adam, them. I got to let you go. Your phone's killing me today. I get – he wants Jordy Nelson. I got nothing against Jordy Nelson. I mean, Jordy Nelson is old, and, as Floyd brought up, he never really could run. But now, if he ever could have run, he's definitely not going to be able to run now. But the numbers are the numbers, and Jordy caught more passes than everybody on your team except for Corey Davis and now Adam Humphries. So I can sit here and laugh about Jordy Nelson's age, or I can sit there and say that they don't need Jordy Nelson, but do they need 60 more catches? Or, you know, Sharp gave him 30 catches and Jordy had 63. Do they need 33 more catches? And I think we'd all say yes.
Well, I mean, how do you feel about your offense when you have now – at both receiver positions, 60 catches, at the slot, 60 catches, at the running back, 60 catches, and if the tight end comes back, you've got at least 60 there. that 60 catches at every spot.
It's the reverse math of that thing you did last year. When DeMarco Murray leaves, Matthews leaves, Walker gets hurt, you know, and you go through it and you're like, that's 200 passes the Titans don't have right now.
Right.
It's almost the exact opposite of that. It's the other side.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Jordy Nelson would come in here and set the world on fire, but you're not really – there's one guy in the offense that you need to set the world on fire. That's Derrick Henry. Everybody else, you just need them to do their job. And if Humphreys does his job and Jordy does his job and Davis does his job, then you've got a semi-productive wide receiving core. The only guy you need to be a Pro Bowl caliber player is Henry. He's the one guy that – like, Derek, you got to be the big dog. The big dog got to eat. But other than that, that's all you got to have, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it's time for Davis and Taylor. You know, it's time for them to do whatever it is they're going to do. It's their third year. And, you know, it's going to be a fairly close repeat of last year from a terminology, scheme, coaching standpoint. And this is their year to blossom. If they don't, then I think you've got some serious issues with both those guys.
Alabama Pro Day in the books, Ohio State Pro Day in the books. The Titans are going to be looking for a guard. Josh Klein has signed with the Vikings. Also, pass rusher. We know about that. Trevor Maddich going to join us. We'll get all of his draft thoughts. He'll join us in studio coming up next. It's Jared and the GM. Do not miss that. Join Team 102.5 The Game for the St. Jude's Rock and Roll Marathon's 5K with D. Mace on Saturday, April 29th. If you can't participate, you can make a difference by donating to our team. All donations will go to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Visit thegamenashville.com to join or donate today. Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared and the GM, Titans picking at 19. They'll need an offensive guard. As Floyd has said, after free agency, pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher is the number one need. Bucky Brooks from NFL Network has the Titans taking Irv Smith Jr., the tight end from Alabama, at the 19th overall pick. Their pro day was yesterday. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, is in studio with us. So, Trevor, you just heard me throw that out there about, hey, you know, one guy saying Irv Smith Jr., Floyd saying pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher. The immediate need in the starting lineup is a right guard. So we throw that all in the mix. We talk about the Titans. We go to you. What do you think the Titans should be looking at? Or maybe what are you sensing could be maybe a something there at 19 that would make sense?
I think they go for the best playmaker that they can get on offense. Or I think they go with one of the core positions on defense. If I'm starting an NFL team, and Floyd, you may disagree with this, but if I'm starting from scratch, an expansion franchise, mm-hmm. my first position groups that I want to solidify are offensive line, defensive line, and pass rusher, in case that comes from an outside linebacker, and cover corner. Those are the ones I want. And because of what they've done in free agency, they've addressed some of those needs. They brought in a pass rusher that'll help them for a year or so. They brought in an offensive lineman. They brought in a slot receiver that can help them move the chains from Tampa. And I think when you add all that stuff together, it means that they're not quite as desperate at certain positions. So they can afford to take the very best available there. And I get the impression that if Garrett Bradbury, the offensive center, is available, they might well take him there to continue to solidify that offensive line. Because when you look at what this team does, they pound the ball. That's what they do. Pound the ball, play action. It's Derrick Henry downhill, downhill, downhill. That's who they want to be. It's what they want to do, and they want everything else to base off of that. And a guy like the receiver they brought in from Tampa Bay, slot receiver, excels at moving the chains on third and six. So they can, which they didn't really have the last couple of years, a guy that could really do that at that high of a level. So now if you think about it, on first and 10 and second and 7, they pound Derrick Henry inside. Now it's third and 6. Throw the ball to the new guy, first and 10. Derrick Henry, third and 5. Throw the ball to the new guy, first and 10. Derrick Henry. So
I'm in love. I'm in love.
And so if you're able to do even more on that offensive line, so it's not third and 5 or 6, but it's third and 3 or so. Now, all of a sudden, you're even more effective there. Oh, so yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they went with the best offensive lineman available there, if they're going for a position group, because that makes everything else work. I mean, you don't need a pass rusher nearly as bad if you're dominating the line of scrimmage with the offensive line.
Do you go Bradberry and play him at center and move Jones over to guard? Or do you keep Ben Jones, the veteran center, at center and have Garrett Bradberry play right guard? Because the one thing Floyd always brings up about guards, now Floyd had this uncanny ability as general manager to go get a legit bona fide 10-year starter in the fifth round. And the average general manager just can't do that. So my thing with this is, if Bradberry can come in and be like a junior Quentin Nelson, where all of a sudden the Titans are just pushing the space and the Titans with Derrick Henry are going to get 5 yards on every carry, then I say do it. But if not, I think pass rusher has to be the go just because of how desperately they need a game-changing pass rusher.
That's fair. And I think, though, that when you look at what Bradberry could do, what he does best is movement in a zone blocking scheme from the center position. It's really hard for a center to snap that ball and then reach to the play side and reach and block a guy that's lined up on the guard. And Bradberry in college could do that. And that's really important. And even if it's just shaded to the play side shoulder, because that gives you, in effect, an extra blocker on the play side, because the guard doesn't have to help as much, if at all, depending on where that guy's lined up. And I think that that gives them an advantage. If you put him at guard, he's still good. He still is fine and fluid in space. But I think you lose that excellence at reaching play side from the center position. So even though he'd be a young guy and have a lot to learn, etc., I think you would maximize the advantage that he gives you by putting him at center. But you're right, pass rusher is another thing that's just critical, you know, and a lot of it will depend on how well Harold Landry develops.
Right.
Right. And so we won't know that really until we get into the season. But if there's a pass rusher available, you never say no. And there's a bunch of them in this draft.
If Nelson, last year's Nelson.
Quentin Nelson, the guard?
Yes.
Yeah, he was went to Notre Dame, and now he's at the Colts.
Right. If he's a 10, what is Bradberry?
I'd say Bradberry is an 8, but in a different way. Quentin Nelson can do all that mobile stuff, but he is as nasty a human being as there is in the NFL from a standpoint of gay hostility. I mean, he will bury you. And if it weren't for the whistleblowing and those little yellow flags, he would stay on top of you with his elbow in your throat trying to drive your esophagus into the turf.
Sound like John Runyon.
Man. You put that with Taylor Lewan. I mean, you're talking about some really good nastiness on that line, and that's what Mike Vrabel is a coach. He loves that kind of a thing. Bradbury's different. Bradberry, I don't think, has that same level of hostility, or at least not the ability to express the hostility physically that Quentin Nelson has. But he's very mobile. And when you've got a zone blocking scheme, the key is not necessarily to drive some guy 3 yards, 4 yards, five down the field. The key is to get in front of him, push him, and then stay in front of him as he flows while you're pushing him. It doesn't look early on like you're getting much done. But when the running back gets there and makes his cut and starts to hit that gap, all of a sudden that defender has to reach for the running back, and that's when you bury him. And Bradberry is really good at that.
We just saw the Ohio State Pro Day, and of course Haskins was a big deal. And when you look at like one of these mocks that's going up now, in fact, we saw two today that have Haskins going ahead of Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Can you fathom that?
I can fathom it. It depends on what you want and what you're doing. Kyle Murray was not asked to do a whole lot of recognizing defenses, but what he was asked to do, he did very well. He didn't strike me as a Johnny Manziel kind of guy that would drop back, look around, find somebody wearing the same helmet he was wearing, and then figure out a way to get him the ball. Johnny Manziel won the Heisman Trophy that way, and it was the worst thing that ever happened to him athletically because he decided he didn't need to study. He didn't need to learn defenses, didn't even need to know his own offense.
Right.
Just needed to know that there were guys downfield, and he'll find them and he'll hit them. Well, in the NFL, if you can't do that part of it, the rest of it won't matter. Kyler Murray doesn't strike me as that. In the air raid system that he ran at Oklahoma, he struck me as knowing where the defenders were, why, and how to get the ball to the right guy. But Haskins, I think, does that on a different level. Part of the reason is that he's had a quarterback coach for a while that's really helped him. I mean, when he does his workouts with his quarterback coach, Quincy Avery, they, for the first hour and 45 minutes of the workout, they're not outside. They're inside watching tape and with Haskins up in front of the board with a marker, drawing up defenses and offensive schemes and how the defense responds to it and all those different mental things, an hour and 45 minutes before he ever goes outside and starts to break a sweat.
Great idea.
Yeah, and that's what I think Haskins brings to it. I mean, Haskins, he's got enough arm talent to be fine. He's fine. His footwork is fine. You know, he's not a fast guy, but he's fine. But according to people that were there or have sources inside those meeting rooms, where he really excelled, Dwayne Haskins, now Ohio State, is in those meetings. Louis Riddick of ESPN just reported that the Giants were talking to him and having him go over stuff on the whiteboard and all that other stuff. And finally, they just stopped asking him questions about that because he was just acing everything. It's like, okay, well, you pass. Good. That doesn't mean he's got NFL knowledge. But that means coming out of college, even though he's only got 1 year as a starter, he has really focused not just on what his offense is doing. That's remedial. He focused on what defenses are doing and why. And that's a critical part. And so I think that's one of the reasons that he keeps rising up draft boards, because teams realize that the guy can mentally process in the classroom what you're asking him to process. Now, he didn't have to process that much in Ohio State's offense, but again, like Kyler Murray at Oklahoma, when he was asked to process, he did a very good job of it. Now he's got to go to a graduate level. Can he do it? Don't know. But right now, based on what we know, it looks like he has a really good head start.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, is in with us. Alabama Pro Day. We were going over the Alabama players that are going to go in the draft. The Titans have no need for Jonah Williams. They have no need for Josh Jacobs. And they probably don't have a need for Deontay Thompson, the safety. We know that they won't be in position to draft Quinnen Williams. Even though the Titans are one of those teams that likes Alabama players, they drafted Rashawn Evans, they drafted Derrick Henry, does it kind of feel like this year may not be a match for the Titans and the Alabama players?
I don't think so, because you're right. Quinnen Williams is out of range for them. Josh Jacobs at running back might fall to him. Matter of fact, there's a pretty good chance that he'll fall to him. But I don't think they're in the market for taking a running back in the first round. And I don't think Jacobs would be so highly ranked on their board that it would overcome taking other people. Jonah Williams is an interesting prospect for them, though. He's their left tackle. He's played both tackles. I think he's more of an NFL guard, though. And because of that, the knock on him is his arm length. And again, I keep on going back to Brandon Scherff, who played left tackle at Iowa. And the Redskins took like fifth or sixth in the draft.
Early, yeah.
Yeah, but they moved him from tackle inside to guard because of the length of his arms. And he's been a Pro Bowler every year he's been there pretty much. So Jonah Williams is that same kind of guy. And if teams are put off by his arm length from a standpoint of taking him as a left tackle that high, he might fall to number 19. And that would be an interesting Alabama pick for them. But other than that, I don't see anything other than an afterthought in the mid to late rounds with one exception. You know, I think there's an offensive lineman there that might be an interesting mid to late round pick for them out of the Alabama Pro Day.
Center.
Ross Pierschbaker.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And he's
nice
a guy,
by the way. When we did that sit down with Saban, we were with him for a while. Nice guy.
He started for 4 years at center and guard for Alabama. He is really smart. He is exceptional at fitting up in space on linebackers at the second level and even on defensive linemen and pushing on them like we talked about in his own scheme. He's really good at that. Mm-hmm. He's not as quick as Garrett Bradbury is at that initial step to reach a guy, but he can fit up and push. Now, what he lacks is ideal strength. He's not that good at taking those 340-pound warthog defensive tackles and lifting them up with leverage and driving them. You know, he doesn't do that. But he'll fit and he'll push. And later in the draft, mid to late rounds, he'd be a guy that would make this team and give them really good depth at guard and center.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst with us. Let's get to the pass rushers next. Let's go right through them. We'll do that coming up next because, Floyd, I think you're pretty convinced that at some point early in this draft, whether it's first or second round, J-Rob is drafting a pass rusher for the Titans to go with Landry and Cameron Wake and that crew.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. So but that's just me.
Let's get to the pass rushers. And does Trevor think this is a draft where you need to trade up or trade down? We'll get into that as well. It's Jared and the GM, Trevor Maddich with us. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Trevor Maddich is with us, NFL Draft live in Nashville this year, and Jared and the GM and everybody at ESPN 102.5 The Game will have it totally covered, so be sure to stick with us. Our friends at ESPN will be in town. We'll be hanging out some with them. Trev, a lot of your friends from ESPN going to be in town too, so we'll be seeing a lot of them.
Yeah, and say hi to them because I'll be in Washington, D.C. doing Redskins draft stuff.
I mean, you live here and they got to get you over and do the thing, but.
That's why they brought the draft here. They knew I'd be in D.C.
They want to get you out.
It's all about me. Yeah.
So Floyd is convinced John Robinson's taking a pass rusher. So am I. I think the Titans should trade down in the first round, trade maybe into the 25 range, take a pass rusher there, and maybe even take a pass rusher in the second and the third rounds. In this draft, who are the pass rushers maybe from 19 and from the second round that you think can be impact players in the league? We know the Josh Allens are going to be gone, the Nick Boses are going to be gone when the Titans ever get a chance to pick. But if the Titans are dead set on pass rusher, who is there available and looking well right now?
Well, we've talked about Chase Winovich of Michigan. He is kind of a specialist as a pass rusher right now as he enters the league. But those are really valuable. And I think that he's a guy that should not go in the first round necessarily, or at least if he does, it'll be in the very bottom of the first round. So I think he'll be available possibly even in the second round for them. He'd be a good one to pick. A guy that's off the radar is Jalen Jelks of Oregon. Jelks is a long, tall guy that was very productive and didn't test all that great at the combine. But when you watch his tape, you see him do some things. And I wouldn't take him in the first round. But second, third, that kind of a thing. Fourth, if he's there in the fourth, I jump all over him. But second, third round in that vicinity, he's a guy that you need to look at because he's another guy who could come in and be a pass rush specialist while he develops more functional strength in the weight room and while he develops other skills to be an NFL defender, a complete NFL defender. So, you know, I think once you get out of the first round, I think there are guys that aren't necessarily complete NFL players, but guys that you could shoehorn into a pass rush specialist role and have them be productive from their first day.
Would there be a couple of those guys? We got Landry in the second round. I'm thinking of the second round. So is there a couple of guys out there in the second round that are Landry-like?
You know, it's hard to say if they're exactly Landry-like. But I think that, because Landry still has to prove, what Landry did well is he would bend. He would get around the corner.
Right.
He would bend. Those guys are the guys that usually don't last. Because if a guy can bend, if he can get low, and if he can change direction really fast as an edge rusher, he's a guy that you want, that you invest in. And a guy like that is like Burns, what's his first name? For goodness sake. Burns from Florida State. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Brian Burns.
Tall guy, but able to bend and get around the corner. So you forgive the fact that he's kind of raw in some of his defensive portfolio, but he can bend so you can teach him to do things like that. That's one of the things that the free agent pass rusher that the Titans just signed, and I'm spacing his name too, but he's been around forever.
Wake.
Yes, but what he can still do is get low. He can bend. He can drop those hips. He can get around the corner that way. And I think those guys tend to go earlier because you can see a future for them. Whereas guys that are kind of stiff and they play a little high and they can't necessarily get around the corner that well, but they survive on motor, they're limited in what they can do in the NFL, and that's why you draft them a little bit later. So who might be kind of like that? You know, I think Chase Hansen out of Utah would be a guy that you might look at after the middle rounds, fourth or fifth round, something like that. He's a guy that was incredibly productive, but athletically a bit limited. But that's the kind of a guy that can help you on special teams, and if he can have one good pass rush move and one good counter, he can also help you and has a chance to develop, but he's not a guy that you would use a higher draft pick on.
Let me ask you a question about Bosa, and I guess I'm getting more and more concerned about him from this standpoint. You know, he misses a bunch of the season with the injury, so injuries are kind of part of it. And then he, you know, doesn't want to go to the bowl or quits the team or whatever it is that he does, which I'm not, you know, giving my opinion on that. And he goes to the combine and he works out as a 265-pound defensive end, runs a 4.79. The defensive tackle, who's going to go and be the second or third pick from Alabama at 295 pounds, ran a 4.83. Is Bosa going to be fast enough to be a true outside edge speed rusher?
He was in college. when you watch him on tape, you saw good speed and you saw the features you need, but especially you saw motor. I mean, his brother, Joey Bosa, first round pick, fourth pick in the draft, I believe, for the San Diego Chargers. The people at Ohio State told me that before the season started that they thought that Nick might go higher than number four, right?
And not a lot of options.
But you saw a lot of similarities in their game at Ohio State. You saw, first of all, amazing motor. You saw frenetic pass rush moves. Not necessarily polished, but frenetic. Slapping hands, and if that doesn't work, then they spin back. And if that doesn't work, then they speed to power. They're just all kinds of crazy Tasmanian devil stuff that they just string together, boom, boom, boom. And there's a lot of polish to be developed. But when you've got a guy that can do all those things and put the motor to it, and you see the success that he had, then that's a guy that coaches can think, and NFL coaches are all pretty darn arrogant, and they all think they can move mountains, right? Sure. They say, yeah, sure. I can take this guy, and I can fix some of his flaws, and I can teach him things that he doesn't know yet, and I can make him an all-pro guy. Well, the thing about Nick Bosa is that he's got all those features. He's got all the production, and he's got the bloodline, his brother, who looked pretty much exactly like him in college in terms of that production. Now, weight is important, because if you're a 265-pound defensive end, what they're going to do is run right at you.
Yeah.
Right at you. They're going to go with two tight ends to force you to be over that tackle. They're not going to let you reduce. Now, if you go over the tight end, no problem. What you'll do is have the tight end post up and have the tackle come out and be the double team guy before the tackle goes up to the linebacker. They'll set him up so they can double team him. They will run right at him, and that negates his speed. And it negates his motor, because all of a sudden, instead of being fast and frenetic, what he has to be is powerful and drop anchor. That's not his game. And so he would have to be one of those guys that would be a specialist as a pass rusher. But he's got the potential to not just be a productive pass rushing specialist, he has the potential to be an absolute nightmare of a pass rushing specialist. Mm. And in a game where it's all about quarterbacks and receivers and getting the ball out quickly, those guys are ultra valuable, and I see no chance of that guy dropping past four or five.
Trevor Maddich with us. You're the Titans at 19. Do you think this is a draft to trade up, or do you think it's a draft to trade down?
If they're going to do anything, they should trade down.
Thank God. I'm with you.
Yeah, because the thing is, it's really deep in certain positions. And offensive line, interior offensive line is deep. Pass rushers, it's deep. They have some really good corners that go deep, and then there's a big drop-off. Tight ends are deep. And so there's a bunch of edge rushers. There's guys that can be coached up. Once you get past those couple of elite guys, it'll be at the top, Bosa and Allen and those guys. So I think if they were to move up, I can't imagine them doing that. I can't imagine who would fall to the point that they would say, yeah, we're going to trade picks, especially since last year they had so few picks. The Patriots, part of the reason they have been so consistently excellent is that it's numbers. It's just raw numbers. Everybody talks about how they are so good at evaluating talent. Well, they are, but they have a lot of talent to evaluate. They trade older stars that still have a couple years left for draft picks to teams that need a guy right now. Exactly. They stack up late-round draft picks. So they might have an extra three picks this year. They'll bring in all three of those guys. One of them looks like he could play. The other two, they're gone. And we don't talk about them, but we talk about those other guys that the Patriots get in the later rounds that all of a sudden become great. It's numbers. And last year, the Titans did not have numbers. This year, if they trade up, I would be stunned. At least if they trade up in the first round. I think they're more likely, if they're going to trade, it would be trade down and fall into that path that Vrabel saw Belichick do, which is, let's get as many numbers of picks as we can, and we will stumble into some really good players.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN College Football Analyst. Trev, breaking down the draft with us until the draft. Always good to see you. Always good to have you on. Always good to have you here.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks,
thank
Trev.
Trevor Maddich with us. The Predators have won 3 in a row. So how do we feel about them winning 3 in a row? And when can we feel like they have turned the corner for good heading into the playoffs? We'll discuss that next. It's Sharon and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.